Let's begin this edition of Chapter and Verse with this thought from Mike McIntosh.
And God was in Christ Jesus upon the cross, reconciling the world back to himself. The word reconciling is like a CPA term. He's balancing the books. Our books, when he opened them up before Jesus, we're bankrupt. We have a lot of debt. But when he came in and saved us, he erased all the debt and he paid the price for our sins. God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to him. He's forgiven you.
And I'll stand up and shout.
If you were to make a short list of the important priorities in your life, what would be at the top of your list? Would it be the importance of standing for righteousness? As we continue our series in the Gospel of Mark, we find ourselves in chapter 6, and today we're going to conclude our message, Jesus Face to Face with People. God's perfect law brings peace to the heart of God's children. The fear of the Lord and our obedient response to His commands cleanses our soul to a righteousness that stands the test of eternity. Through His Word, God shows us the mighty things He has planned for those He has called His children. If your Bibles are handy, why not follow along as Mike leads us through the Word of God, chapter and verse.
But what a horrible life when we claim to be three-dimensional and we're living two or one. It's all body and lust. Can't be. So now we see that John the Baptist is very important for us, because before we go home now, he said, John had said that it's unlawful for me to marry my brother's wife. So then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, he gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him that were drunken perverts, the king said to the girl, now this is a person under the influence of alcohol, ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And that word danced is an interesting dance, because it wasn't the foxtrot or the samba, it wasn't the jitterbug or the four-step, it was a lascivious, lustful dance about her body in front of men. Maybe it was the bells and tassels, and she just did a very provocative dance. And in his ego, in front of all of the men, he says, ask me anything, I'll give it to you, because he was under the spell of sin. An opportune day came, and so he swore to her, listen to this, whatever you ask me, I will give you. Look at half of my kingdom. I don't know that they had television in those days. I know they didn't. But if they had pornographic drawings or something, you can tell this man was under the spell of pornography. You say, hold it, there's no pictures. The word pornography comes from the Greek. And the Greek and the Hebrew are almost the same. But in the Greek, it's pornea, and that's where we get pornography. And the very simplest interpretation from the Greek language is perverted sex. Anything out of the biblical concept of the marriage bed is pure and undefiled for the husband and wife. So pornography goes way beyond just pictures and thoughts. It's one of those sins that actually embeds itself into the brain cells of the people that are trapped by it. And the lust for it, the desire for it, once a person has been hooked, is worse than heroin. We did a festival of life in the Coachella Valley but 6 years ago, and I asked some of the counseling guys in charge, tell me some of the stories of some of the people who accept Jesus. One was an 8-year-old boy. When I gave the invitation, I saw his young in a sense, but a lot of young boys and girls came. A lot of teenagers gave their heart to the Lord. There's thousands of people. And one said, I had an 8-year-old boy. And he started crying and he said, I need Jesus to deliver me from pornography. I watch pornography all the time. Well, he's 8 years old. He doesn't even know what it is, but he's probably figured it out. And the question went back to him, where would you have access to pornography? He said, my father watches it on his television in the office at our house. Wow. An 8-year-old hooked. How about the 14-year-old girl? The second guy said, had a teenager from La Quinta High School, Mexican, and there's racism out in Coachella Valley. And this girl, she needed to be delivered from prostitution. Why are you a prostitute? Because all the white girls have money, and we don't. The Mexican girls, most of us don't have any money. And to keep up with the pressure, we have to make money to wear clothes that are as nice as the white girls wear. So they sell their bodies. Their parents don't know it. Sex is just all over the landscape right now, and it is a poison that has actually ruptured the inside of America. It's not just men, it's women also. Herod was seduced by his stepdaughter. Isn't that sick? That's sick. I'll give you half of my kingdom. And then he took his sandal out of his mouth and said, I shouldn't have said that. So the opportunity gave, I'll give you half of my kingdom. She went and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And here's that favorite word we have, guys. You can circle it. Immediately, she came in with haste. She hurried. She ran to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once, very demanding, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. See that? The alcohol, the lustful feelings. He's sorry. How stupid was I? Yet because of his oath, he's now worried about what others think. Because of those who sat with him, he didn't want to refuse her. There's the word again. Immediately, the king, as fast as she came to him, the king sent an executioner and commanded to behead John the Baptist. And he went and beheaded him right there in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl walked over and gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all these things, both what they had done and what they had been taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to the desert, to a lonely, deserted place, and rest a while. They needed to be recharged. It was Chuck Swindoll, many years ago, did some research, and he found out a 45-minute sermon on Sunday, the energy of the body, the soul, and the spirit all working at the same time is equal to an 8-hour day for a heavy construction worker. You're so drained, and for pastors that do 2, 3, 4 services, they probably need 2 or 3 days rest, but they don't. They just keep on going. So this is sad. But now Jesus is going to do something to challenge everyone. The king was sorry when his disciples heard it. Jesus said, guys, you need to rest. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Underline that in the person's Bible on your left side. When Jesus saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion. Why? because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There's the heart of Jesus that you love. He gets moved with compassion when he sees you're down. Sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came into him and said, "This is a desert place, and already the hour is late. Send the people away." There's the insensitive disciples. "Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." That was their understanding. And Jesus answered and said, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread?" That's like a worth of a work in a full month. "And give them something to eat?" And then he says to them, "How many loaves do you have?" I think he should have said, "How many of you loafers? How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Well, we have five loaves." Now, these are just little like baguettes. These loaves aren't like 30 pieces of bread. "Two fish." And then he commanded them to make them sit down in groups. He was very organized. On the green grass. They could be sitting by the cactus or the dry area or the rocks, but on the green grass. That's very subtle, of how he wants you to be comfortable. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves, the two fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to set them before the people. And so they were all filled. And that word is sated. They were just glutted. There wasn't a hungry person in the neighborhood. They were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now, these who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. And there's our word again. Immediately he made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. When's the last time you shut everything off and even maybe went somewhere for nothing else but to pray? Fantastic things happen. We just had a time of prayer with the pastors that Chuck asked if we would look after our brothers. And Calvary Chapel Philadelphia purchased some property and built a beautiful prayer retreat in the Poconos Mountains. And we brought all the regional guys from around the world and the council. We sat there and listened to them and prayed. And it was just so wonderful to do nothing. We have no agenda. We're going to pray. And then everybody goes their own ways and you start getting emails that, "Wow, the Lord answered that prayer. Wow, the Lord healed me of what I asked you to pray for me. Wow, the Lord turned this situation around with the property we just bought to build on." I want you to think about this. You don't have to go spend any money and go somewhere. If you just say, "Lord, I'm going to get away, I'm just going to pray," I would suggest two things. One, have your Bible with you. Two, have a pen, pencil, and a little notepad to hear what he says. You'll be amazed. Nothing. No cell phone. No iPad. Just you in prayer. Well, three things. Your pen and pencil, your pad, and what was the first thing? Your Bible. And be sure to take clothes. Wear clothes when you go. So we're going to end here. 5,000 men were just touched. Impossible. And Jesus said, "Now I need to get away." And he does. And he went to the mountain. And when evening came, he saw the boat in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, or as the King James would say, they're contrary to the wind. Here's professional boatmen. And some are going this way, and some are going that way. They're going against the current. They're going against the wind. They're not synced. And I have seen when God sinks people, he does powerful things. Powerful things. He can rock a country. He can rock a city is nothing for God to do. Powerful things. Two cops, rural area, 4 hours from Mexico City, out in the country, young men. See a car with two or three men in it, the taillights broken. They pulled them over, midnight, pitch black, nothing around. And they said, hey, we just want to tell you, your taillight's not fixed. And they started looking around, pulled their guns, get out of your car, lean right here on the hood, open the trunk. There's $20 million U.S. dollars wrapped in saran wrap in the back seat and on the floor and in the trunk. And I sat with the guy who reported to the president, and he told us this story, that as long as he is in charge of the law enforcement academy in that area, the largest, we can come anytime and talk to the officers that are learning to be police about Jesus, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and God. Because not $1 was missing. And these were the first students out of the academy that ever had a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as a police officer in the training academy. And so the governor knew it, other people higher up knew it, that when the gospel is in the heart of a law enforcement person, the corruption is not there. You see, if there's $20 million and there's a bust, the cartels would know there wasn't $17 million that we lost, and they'd start killing people. But they knew they lost $20 million. Not one of those officers or their friends stole $1 because the Lord had stopped them. There's wonderful things happening inside of Mexico with the gospel and with Jesus. And it can happen in your heart and in your home. Let him move. He did not many miracles, for they would not let him. Their faith was hindered. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We're very grateful, Lord, for your love for us. We're very grateful that you're willing to say things and do things that even church people would be somewhat awed and say, well, how were you able to do something like that? And yet the people around the world, when they see a miracle, they're able to understand what's going on. And then they get convicted of their own sin. Lord, you said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, even if he departs, he shall return. We have no idea how many people that are quote-unquote unsaved in Orange County that actually have departed from the faith, and they know you. But the great thing is, you know where every one of them is. And Lord, as you're ready to evacuate planet Earth, we want our hearts ready to serve you by getting the gospel in every area of influence we have access with. Lord, these men and women are standing before you tonight. They love you. They believe you. They trust you. They just need a touch of you to learn the joy of their salvation, to walk and talk with you. As those men in Emmaus said, did not our hearts burn within us as he taught us? God, take us. We're a small handful of people, except for this unseen crowd on the internet, on the web, on YouTube, Roku, iTunes, and Calvary Radio Network throughout the Midwest. We want to be used. We want you to have mercy on the teenagers that are trapped in such ugly, horrible things. We want to ask you to break through the filth of human trafficking for all the children that are chained to beds in horrible places around this country for perverts. We want to ask, Lord, that you could intercede with the millions of wife beatings that husbands are so brutal with in this society. We want to ask, Lord, that you would take any love or desire for money away from us, because you said the love of money is the root of all evil. Lord, if it's not us, we'll help whoever it is. But I just sense, Lord, these people are special in your eye, and you've called us together to be prepared to be used by you. So as we separate, and come back again next week, may we all have some fantastic experiences with you. Please, Lord, please, we beg you, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us without any measure. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thank all of you radio people for listening. We're going to worship a little bit here, and some are going to have to go home. And we thank all of you that are watching on the internet, too. But those of you who have a few extra minutes, let's stand in his presence, and let's let him move in our presence to touch you and to overflow your heart and your life, that there'll be nothing else but Jesus on your mind. As a very young pastor in San Diego, I was the only one. I actually started around 7 or 8 in the morning counseling people until 6 or 7 at night. And I found one of those early calendar books I had and saw the numbers of people. And it just kept growing and growing and became huger and larger. And I saw something. I got a desk calendar. And from the 1st of January to the 31st, in every square, the Lord said, put my name in there. So I wrote 31 times Jesus. And that's how your life should be. But then he said, erase my name and put what you have planned for this month. And I saw Jesus wasn't number one. Try your calendar that way somehow and just see how much he really has control. It'll change your life. And I know you all want your life to change, to be better. Don't you? But especially spiritually, the Master is calling us. And to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. And no greater love has any man than this, Jesus said, that he'll lay his life down for his brothers or for others. Selfishness is gone. The cross. It's a big plus for you and me. There's a lot of positive things that come out of the cross. And God was in Christ Jesus upon the cross, reconciling the world back to himself. The word reconciling is like a CPA term. He's balancing the books. Our books, when he opened them up before Jesus, we're bankrupt. We have a lot of debt. But when he came in and saved us, he erased all the debt and he paid the price for our sins. God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to him. He's forgiven you. He's forgiven every little inch inside of your memory that other people don't even have a clue about. So don't live there anymore and dwell there anymore. Move on with the Lord. And if you're truly my disciple indeed, Jesus said, continue in my word.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh on Chapter and Verse, where the 6th chapter of Mark has been our text. Doing all in the name of Jesus means bringing honor to God in every aspect of our daily living. As we've been reminded today, living the Christian life is showing compassion to those who may not be deserving of it. But when we do, we're showing the love as shown to us by Jesus Christ. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Coming up next time on CNV, we'll hear the amazing story of Jesus walking on water. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministry.
And I'll stand up and shout.